You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
Going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. We're on fall break here, but the grind does not stop, as Mr. Easter said earlier. But as of right now, Mr. Easter is joining us from back in the studio. He's pulling the double tonight, producer and being part of the show. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
Especially from back in the studio. I'm also being joined by Jeff Robinson. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great and rooting on my Cardinals. I'm probably unpopular here, but
as I'm wearing my Cubs t-shirt.
We've got a conflict.
5-4.
Hey, I'm a lifelong Cardinal fan.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Cubs t-shirt. So,
well, he's had a lot more to cheer about as a Cardinal fan than you have as a Cub fan. You've spent through, what, 100 and some years of misery?
Yeah. It's finally turning around.
Well, at least like 16 of those 100, though, for him, you know.
Yeah, 16 of those 100 is about it. I'm also being joined right now by the main man himself, Mr. Mike Kirshner. How you doing, Coach?
Good. I'm at Arby's. Just ate some delicious curly fries at Arby's on West 10th, and it's a great place to be. Appreciate John producing back in the studio. I know he'd rather be here catching up on things, but we'll be interested to hear the questions, so let's roll.
Well, starting off, we got a win last week. That's probably the most important thing, but at the end there, it got a little dicey. But overall, it was a good team performance. So what happened against Lawrence Central?
It was a good team win. Lawrence Central's really good. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what their record looks like. Jed's done a heck of a job. They're a play or two away from, I mean, they were up, I don't even remember the score, 12-7 at half on Center Grove. They were tied 35-35 with the ball and about 3 minutes to go against Warren Central. And these teams are all really good. And so we knew we were in for a dogfight. I was a little disappointed at the end. I thought our last drive that put us up two scores was one of our better drives we'd had all year. We ran the ball consistently. We were able to move the chains. We burned a lot of time off the clock. Got the score, got the two-point conversion. Went up 28-14 with about three-something to go. And we told the kids, you know, they're going to throw the ball. We're going to keep them in front, tackle them, keep them in bounds, run the clock, use their timeouts, things like that. And dang, if we just didn't let them get behind us. I get frustrated when that happens. And then, you know, on top of that, they go out and kick the extra points. So it's 28-21, but we lined up in the neutral zone. A young man who we'd told all night to back up, and he'd been called for it earlier in the game. And so they come out and get the two-point conversion. Now it's 28-22. They run an onside kick. They get it. Now you're kind of fighting for your life, man. I mean, you know, they go down and score and get the extra point. You lose 29-28, and 3 minutes earlier you were thinking, I'm sitting pretty good. So we still haven't quite put our hand on the accelerator, is what I was talking about last week. Put your foot on the gas. Don't take your foot off the gas. Doesn't matter what the score is. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Keep your foot on the gas. Fortunately, our defense came out, and they had about a fourth and three, and we made a great stop on fourth down. The offense came out. We got it down to 11 seconds, punted. They ran the last play and fumbled. But I was real happy. We competed. We competed hard. We weren't as sharp in spots. We had, I think, Reese ended up 9 of 21 throwing for 100 and some yards, but we had six drops. You know, he missed some plays. He missed some throws, but we also had six drops, things we can't do. Wynn was messing with us a little bit. I was real pleased. We moved Chris Evans to tailback exclusively for the game. He ended up rushing for 200 yards and had a pretty good night. So did some good things. You know, he had a great punt return, but, you know, then we missed a fake punt, you know, and so we're still trying to clean some things up, practicing again this week, and got to get some kids healthy. We got pretty banged up Friday night, and because it was a very, very physical football game.
put into perspective the really what your team got out of this victory and what maybe from a confidence and just an overall improvement?
Well, confidence-wise, I think it's great. I mean, we've won two of our last three. You look at the North win, you say, well, it's Lawrence North. But Lawrence North was down 10-7 in the fourth quarter to Center Grove last week and ends up losing 17-7. So that tells you how good Lawrence North really is and what they've become. So we've won two of our last three, and I felt like for three quarters we played really well against Carmel. You know, and we're up 21-14 in the fourth in that game. So I think we're getting closer, you know, and I think our kids' confidence are riding high. And, you know, we're flying around at practice and changing some things up at practice, trying to change more, you know, our what we're doing there a little bit. And we're just getting better. Our young kids are kind of growing up, which is what they should be doing. This is you're going into the ninth week of the regular season, 11 weeks counting the preseason, and we should be getting better. So I like the direction we're heading, but some of the mistakes. I'll tell you, the one statistic that really stood out Friday is we forced a couple turnovers, and we didn't have any, which is only the second time all year we've played turnover-free for a game. And that's a good thing. That doesn't show up in the stats a lot of times, and people don't really realize, but we had a nice interception by Antonio Allen, and we fumbled on the last play of the game. But they actually fumbled the ball five other times. We just couldn't quite come up with it.
Coach, you go ahead, Corey.
No, you go ahead. I was waiting for you.
Oh, okay. Well, there's going to be a little slight delay when you hear my my question, so just bear with us here. Coach, when you look at the offense this past week, obviously you mentioned Chris Evans moving back to tailback, 200 yards, but he was back to more being kind of his explosive self, and you talked about that's a good defense. Obviously, you're playing there against Lawrence Central with Steve Tutsi. You did a great job in his years at Warren Central, now has brought that defense over to Lawrence Central. So when you talk about how well your offense played, you talked about it not being maybe as sharp, but you picked your moments because you had three big plays that scored. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we got it. We got in jumbo early, and it sprung Chris for a long run. We were coming out of our own end zone. Steve's touchy scheme was really good. He'd picked up on a couple things. He basically lined up in a situation where he's taken away the run in our normal set. So by lining up in jumbo and double tight, it kind of brought everybody in. The second big touchdown, we got Story Emerson one-on-one by himself on the backside for, a 90-some-yard touchdown.
It was 96
pass.
Yards.
And I
was wondering, was that a record? Because I couldn't find it anywhere.
I don't know. I'd have to look. It might be. Now that you say it, I don't even bother to pay attention. It could be the longest pass play from scrimmage.
Yeah, I didn't see that
Ben
anywhere.
Davis. I don't know. If not, we'll make it the record because I'll have to do some looking. I think I've got every record there is. I don't know. I'd have to look. We actually had that a couple times earlier in the game, and we missed it. And if you go back and watch first quarter, we had Zion Blow in the slot one-on-one. He got behind the kid, dropped the ball. Next possession, we got Story Emerson one-on-one because he was Steve was playing a lot of cover zero, taking away his safeties and basically daring us to throw the ball. And normally we catch those and connect, and there was one with Story that would have been for a touchdown and one for Zion that if they caught the ball, we'd have scored 14 real fast to start the game, which, you know, when that happens, it kind of gets the defense out. But because we weren't catching it and we weren't connecting them, he was able to stay in that defense, which was making it really tough on us to run with what he was trying to do to us. So we have to take advantage of that. And then Chris broke another long run in the third quarter that kind of got us going again. And then, I like I said, I was real impressed with the drive. We ended up with 350 yards, off a little bit from what we've been averaging, which is a little over 400. But we got the win, and honestly, we needed that. We needed that win going into this week. And, you know, I know we got another big one coming up, another Mick game, but it was a good win.
So, Coach, how do you keep your players to keep the foot on the gas late in the game? Because that's been one of the biggest things I've seen so far is against Carmel, take the foot off the gas. Against LC, take the foot off the gas. Still came out with the win against LC, but how do you keep your guys to stay intense in that fourth quarter situation?
Well, that's a good question. If anybody has an answer, let me know. Call me. I'll be happy to listen because we've talked about it. We've talked about it as a team. We talk about it in practice. We change up the practice schedule and say, all right, it's the fourth quarter. It's third and 10. We got to get a stop. So they're always mentally thinking the process. I don't know that I know an answer. I don't know that I have an answer other than we keep trying different things. Tomorrow, I just emailed the staff right before I got here. I want to try something completely different during our team segment tomorrow that we've not done all year, haven't done for several years, just to see if I can change up the mentality of what's getting ready to happen so they get a different focus. You're dealing with 16, 17-year-old kids, and I think Friday night was one of those. We got up 28-14, and they kind of look at the scoreboard, and they look at the clock, and they relax. You know, there's so much pressure on them to be successful at Ben Davis because the tradition is what it is. But that's no excuse. You know, my big talk all week was, and even the pregame talk was, you know, we've yet to play four quarters. Here's the analogy I gave. It's like riding in the interstate, and you're riding with your grandma, and she's going 55 miles an hour, and it's killing you because it's taking you an hour to get wherever you got to go, and she's not going to go faster than 55, and everybody's flying by you. Well, that's what we're on. We get in that cruise control, and we set the speedometer at 55, and we just sit there. I want you to put it down. I want you to break the speed limit. I want you to put your foot on the gas. I don't care what the speed is, but you're flying at 100 miles an hour. And I thought we did that at times Friday. I just don't think we do it for four quarters, and that's a process we got to get to.
Going into last week, I know Garrett Dokes was a primary focus for your defense. Talk about the way, though, your defense ended up helping force Lawrence Central into where they needed to throw the ball late in the contest.
Yeah, I don't know if we stopped him. We were talking about that off the air. He's really good. I don't know that, I told some friends of mine that, or at the collegiate level, I said, you know, I know some of you guys offered him as a DB, but I'm missing it. I've watched you guys play on Saturdays, and he's a really good running back. He's one of the best around for several years, actually. He runs hard. He runs with his pad level down. To say we contained him would be wrong. He ended up with 180 yards on 30 carries. That's his third, think about that, that's his third worst day of the year. I mean, earlier in the year, he had 354 on one person, 255 on another, two-something on another. I mean, just a dominant-type running back.
At the same time, though, you prevented scores, though.
Yes, we were able to make them drive. And at the high school level, when you have to make somebody drive a long way and don't give up the big play, then your hope is there's a bad snap, there's a penalty that takes them out of it, whatever, and you get in that situation. Because I thought we did a pretty good job till the very end on our pass defense. He was 11 of 29. You know, that's a good day when you can hold somebody 11 of 29 throwing, you know, 35% or whatever. So he got away on one good run. And honestly, they ran the right play for a bad call. We're sitting there on our headsets going, you know, we saw the play develop. It's like we ran a stunt. Everything was inside. We thought they were going to run inside zone. He bounced. They ran outside zone. And the good call on their part, bad call on our part. Other than that, we kind of kept everything to 4, 5, 6 yards. And I thought we did a pretty good job. I think he's just an impressive kid to watch run. I'd be real leery of him in the tournament. I just would. He's that kind of a kid.
Coach, you know, you talk about Ben Davis football. And we had the – kind of the, I don't know if it was the pleasure, or I know that we kind of get on your headsets when we're up there and you guys get on our headsets when we're up there in the booth, but I had the pleasure to watch your offensive and defensive staff work up in the booth this past week, and I don't think people understand everything that goes on in that booth. So can you just briefly tell folks everything that's going on, what you're hearing as a coach from down on the sidelines, the calls that are going on upstairs, the way they're reviewing video during the game? I mean, these are some pretty awesome things.
Well, up till 2 years ago, you could not review video during a game. It was illegal. It was against IHSA and National Federation rules. But with the influx of all the technology we now have, they've given us permission. I can even have, it used to be if I had my cell phone out on the sideline, I was in violation. Now you can have any technology you want out. And so we've gone from, you know, not being able to see videos until Friday night after the game to we're videoing the play from the press box on iPads, and in between series, the coordinators are going back and reviewing the clips to see what we did wrong, what we did. Then they're feeding me the information on the sideline. I'm going over the kids, how to align up, how to adjust, and then how we can make our calls from there. It helps us with our tendencies, helps us with where they think they're, what they're trying to do, who they're trying to attack, how we can scheme to benefit it. So it's a huge process. It's not like there's a guy up there saying, run this. There's a reason why he's running this, because he saw this and now we're going to do this. And as the game wears on, it's a valuable tool. I'm assuming all schools do it. I don't know. But the more the seasons wore on, we didn't do it last year, and Dan's been a big part of getting this all set up for us. But the more we do it, the smarter we become, and it's really helped us defensively and even offensively get an idea of where we want to go with things.
I just thought it was
going
awesome.
Going into the game Friday and pregame, I was talking with Cole, and we said if we can get a stop Dokes anywhere around 150 yards, that's a good day. And like we said, it was 180, so a little over our estimate. But what was the game plan going into Friday to stop him, at least contain him?
Yeah, what we did is a little bit what we did with Carmel, because we were worried about Carmel and with their inside zone as well, is we were going to take away the inside run game, the power and the veer in the inside zone. So we were going to take it away. And what we did is we took our ends, and instead of setting our ends on the edge and boxing everything, we closed them. They get that down block, turn down, run inside as hard as you can. Your job's tackle Dokes. Even if Dokes, and if you really watch film, there's a couple plays where we're tackling Dokes and he does not have the ball. And I'm sure people are like, what are those guys doing? They're out there tackling a guy that doesn't have the ball. We made it very clear to our guys that we're not going to gamble. That, you know, we did it against Warren at one time where we told him to tackle the back, and he didn't think he had the ball, so he let the back go, and we chased the quarterback, and the back had the ball, and they scored. So we're going to tackle. We're going to force the quarterback to pull it and run, which we knew Randolph could run. That wasn't like it was a slap to Randolph. He's really good, but we weren't going to take a chance on Dokes having that 300-yard night like he did against other people. We were going to try to contain him and then rally to Randolph. And I thought our outside linebackers did really well, because the next part of the scheme was if our ends are going to close that hard, Dokes and Randolph are going to bounce it out. And when they bounce it out, our outside linebackers better tackle. And our Randolph, Darius, and Trayvon Smith and Deontay Redfield did a great job of wrapping him up, you know, not necessarily bringing him down, but wrapping him up until everybody else get there. And I tell you, that one had a really good game was Rondell Allen, our freshman free safety. Really starting to come along, sophomore free safety. Coming along, starting to tackle better, starting to understand his fit and his schemes. You know, when we started him, this is what going to be his fourth or fifth start, you know. So when we started him in the middle of season, he was still struggling, trying to figure out everything we wanted him to do. And the smarter he gets, the more physical he becomes.
Well, we're going to send it back to the studio real quick for a 30-second break, and we'll come back with the preview of the game on Friday against North Central. So a 30-second break here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
A 50-50 ball. An elbow to the ribs. A sudden flash of tempers. In sports, anything can happen in the heat of the moment. The Indiana High School Athletic Association reminds you that when cooler heads prevail, everybody wins. When the game heats up, will you keep your cool? This message brought to you by the Indiana High School Athletic Association and the high schools in your community.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. Coming into Friday, North Central was able to keep it close against a team like Pike, which any MIC team is a good team to play. But they kept it close for a long time there against Pike, so they're no slouch. Any team in the MIC is a good team to play against, and any team in the MIC has the quality. So what should we expect when North Central comes to town on Friday?
Well, you're absolutely right. The score was 17-12 midway through the third quarter. Final was 47-27, and a couple of those touchdowns that Pike scored in the first half were off turnovers by North Central. North Central's young. He's got several sophomores playing, but They're playing hard. Their sophomore quarterback, I really like. He runs the veer option really well, throws the ball with some accuracy. He's got a couple good receivers. I like number three. I like 29. His running backs, he's got a sophomore tailback, 33, who's going to be special. I tell you where they've made their biggest improvement, I think, is on, I know it doesn't show up stats necessarily because some points they've given up, but defensively, they're doing some really good things. Kids are flying around. They're being physical. And a credit to Kevin Kreinhagen, when you're on a losing streak, sometimes it's hard to keep your kids focused and keep them buying in, but that's not the case. They're buying in. You could just tell by the way they were playing last week. They're playing hard. They're playing fast. They're playing physical. And we're gonna have to come with our full game. We've been on our kids all week. That, you know, until we start putting four quarters together, every night's going to be a battle.
I know, as a coach, whenever you started as a head coach at Cascade, you walked into a situation where that you were on a losing streak.
0-9.
talk a little bit about what you feel like Kevin's going through there in terms of trying to really start from scratch with a program.
Okay. When I got to Cascade, Darren Fisher had been the head coach, who's now at Whiteland. He had done a really good job. The year he left, his last season, they'd gone 3-7, he had told me when I took the job there was going to be, you were walking into a situation, it was a little bit of a drop off from where they'd been, because Darren had actually won the only sectional in school history. Darren had done a great job. So my first year there as a head coach, first year as a head high school coach in any sport, we go 0-9. It was a struggle. Struggle getting the kids to buy into my way. They were under Darren's way of doing things. I was a little bit different. I could tell stories, but it would take the whole rest of the 15 minutes. And it was a different way. I was different than Darren, not right, wrong, just different. And so the second year comes around, you know, and I'd spent the whole year. And to me, it started for us in the off season in the weight room, because when I got there, this is no lie. We got there and I tested all the kids in the bench press. Now I'm 38 at the time, 55 now. Or is that, I'm older than that. No, I might have been younger than that. I don't remember. I was old. Okay. Yeah, 38. That's what I was. I was 38 when I got there. So I tested everybody on the bench press just to get an idea of our strength. I was the strongest bench presser on the team, and I don't get to play. And I'm thinking, this isn't good. You know, I'm coming from Warren, where 300-pound benchers were the norm, and I'm going to Cascade, and kid's benching 190, and he thinks he's a man, and I'm thinking, put 275 on there. Let's go. I'll do it a couple times. And they're all looking at me like, you're nuts, you know. And so we get to the second season, and I'd spent the whole year really pushing the weights and the speed development, and we went from nobody in our team benching 300 to four of the five starting offensive linemen were now benching 300. We get to that first game, and we're playing North Putt, and we lose 12-6 in overtime. And I thought, I at that point, you're 0-10, and you're thinking to yourself, can you do it? I mean, this is the tough part as a coach. Can you actually get it changed? And then, and I'm making this a long story, the next week we're getting ready to play Monrovia in the second game, and it's about 5 o'clock, and I'm writing the stuff on the board for when the kids are coming back from the meeting, when my AD comes walking in, Tim McRoberts, and he comes walking in. He goes, you're going to need to sit down. I said, what's the matter? He goes, you need to sit down. He goes, on the way back to the game, there was an accident, and you got two players being lifelined to Methodist Hospital, and your manager is in an ambulance going to the hospital. And I said, oh, my God, who are we talking about? Well, my manager was Norm, Scott Denon, and then my two players was my starting tailback, strong safety, and my starting DB, wide receiver, Josh Tharp, who was also the son of my offensive coordinator, John Tharp. So they all took off for the hospital. So I get the team in the meeting room before the game, and I set them down. I said, all right, Owen Reynolds, you're a junior. You're starting a corner tonight. No exceptions. You're going to play, and this is your role. Take care of it. I said, Tom Whitaker, you're the starting corner, or you're the starting running back tonight. And we subbed a couple other kids, and I said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to play it. You're going to play your hardest. Here's what happened. Here's the situation. We're going to go out. We're going to finish the game and just take care of business. And we were playing at that time. Monrovia had John Staniford, who was going to be an NFL wide receiver. So we were a little bit outgunned, ended up beating them 23-14 for our first win, and it kind of took off. And to give you a long answer to your question, that moment changed the course of how the kids saw me, how the kids related to what I no longer had to say go to the weight room. They wanted to be in the weight room. We ended up winning six games that year, went 6-3. Complete turnaround, beat Edgewood, who was really good at the time. I think they were 6-1, went down to Edgewood and beat them 16-13. And it just kind of propelled you. So Kevin's got to find a way to get that win, to get the kids to buy into the program. And until he does, not only are the kids questioning it, you as a coach question it. Because, I mean, I got to the point where I'd go home thinking, man, I can't keep asking them to show up every day and work hard, and it's not working. You know, they got to see some sort of reward for all their efforts, and it all comes back. You know, it's go ahead.
Just to follow up, when you're in that situation and looking at it, Kevin's perspective, looking at a Ben Davis, how much of a target you put on a Ben Davis?
A huge one. I mean, the way I was looking at it, each week, I just kept trying to breathe life into them. And I would say, we can do this. I'd show them on film, say, now, if you line up and do this, we will do this, and we can do this. And the thing is, they can, you know, and I just hope they don't this week. because they have the ability. They have the kids. They just got to get it all on the same page. And I know Kevin's trying. I know Tucker's trying, and Grady Phillips is there, and they're working. They're working hard to try to get this fixed.
Coach, you know, there's an example, a couple of examples of the kind of programs. You give the one from Cascade in your example, but also what Bill Peebles has done down at Southport. I think that's a great example. I think he won one of his first 35 games, something like that. I mean, you know, really struggled. I know he lost his first 18 for sure, and I'm not so sure he didn't lose the next season as well. He may have lost his first 27 games, but now, you know, Southport's a team that year by year they're putting up winning seasons. So you talk about things that could get done. There's an example right there. When you look at North Central, though, who are the key players? I know you mentioned a few of them. Who are the key players on the defensive side of the ball that the Giants will have to watch out for?
Well, you got a very large nose man. His name is Scruggs. Goes about 5'11", 318. He's a three-year starter. He's a force in the middle. You got Walter Hare, who's also a three-year starter. He plays some linebacker, some defensive end. They kind of move him around. He has Division I offers. He's also their long snapper. Great kid. I've had him at camp a few times, and just a real personable kid. They got a linebacker in the middle, 33 and 34, who I think fly around and make plays. Safeties come downhill. They got a good scheme. It's a 3-4 scheme. It's a good scheme. It works. It's going to be very similar to what you saw Friday with Lawrence Central. That's why we've been working real hard trying to block. We didn't block it well on times Friday, so we've been working real hard trying to block it this week. So, you know, it's they're going to do some good things. They got a good punter, good kicker. Wind will be a factor Friday. It's supposed to be windy Friday, so wind will be a factor. My hope is we come out and get on them early. You know, if we can come out, jump on them, get a lead, make them have to fight to come back, that's good. But if they hang around like they did Friday against Pike, it'll be a four-quarter adventure.
Coach, you talked about how much the defense has improved for North Central. On the other side of the ball, what should the Giants do offensively? Are we looking to run the offense more through Reese Taylor or through Chris Evans on the ground or through the air? What should we look for?
Both. When we go into a game, we don't look at it as we're going to try to be a ground game or an air game. We look at, all right, what are they, you know, this is what we think they're going to do. Then you get there, like we thought LC was going to do some things, and they gave us a little bit different wrinkle than we thought he might. So then it said, all right, we're going to have to do this, this, and this. And so Coach Ferris, great offensive coordinator, has really worked into his own. He's a great football coach. He'll sit there and he'll analyze what they're trying to give us from the get-go, and then we'll go from there.
How much do offenses really change as the weather changes? And, I mean, obviously, you look like the Carmel game. Both teams had to run a little bit more in the second half with the way the weather kind of fell apart that night. But how much do you alter your offense in general?
Well, a lot depends on whether it's wet. A lot depends on whether or not it's windy. I think Friday the winds are 13, 14 miles an hour. I don't know what it'll be actually at game time. That could be during the day. But we watch the weather, at least I do, because it gives me an idea. Doesn't really affect us on defense as much as it does on offense and our kicking game. It's a big factor whether or not you take the ball to start the game, whether or not you kick the ball to start the game, who's getting the second half, which way do you kick? Do you take the win in the third quarter? Do you take the win in the fourth quarter? You know, when we played Carmel, we were going into the win to start the game. We were able to flip the field and kind of use that to our advantage. But in the second half, they made us take the wind at the third quarter, which made it tougher for us to throw in the fourth quarter when we got behind. Now we're throwing into the wind and the rain. And so it does play into it. It plays into when and where you take the ball and how you deal with it. So it's a decision, and sometimes you catch right and sometimes you don't.
Well, Coach, Davis plays North Central Friday. What are your final thoughts?
Well, I'd like to make a mention. I went to there was a memorial service on our baseball field last night for a young man who graduated last June from Ben Davis, played baseball for us, by the name of John McGuire. John was in the weightlifting class with me for the last 3 years. Very emotional evening. I know the service is for him this Thursday at Chapel Rock Christian. Showing is from 2 to 7. Encourage people to get out and pay the respects. John was a Ben Davis Giant through and through. Loved Ben Davis baseball. Loved Ben Davis. Was part of Purple Rain. I know Purple Rain is dedicating Friday night to him, as they should. But I hope people just remember that, like I told my players on Monday, opportunities are few. Life is short, and don't miss out on an opportunity. Don't go through life saying, I wish I had done this, or I could have done this, or I could have done this better. Do everything to your best, and love life, man. Because when you think about losing a life at 18 years old, that's tough to deal with. So hope everybody shows up. I know we're on fall break, but if you got anything to do, it's supposed to be cool and 60 for the day on Friday, so it's going to be a beautiful night for football.
Probably a great message right there to remind your seniors, which senior night is coming up Friday night as well.
Yeah.
Like we said earlier, Ben Davis has played North Central this Friday. We'll bring you coverage on WBEG starting at 7 o'clock, pregame starting at 6. Thanks for John Easter back in the studio producing this week, pulling the double, being part of the show and producing. So that's going to do it here from the Arby's on West 10th Street. So this has been a presentation of your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
Has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Taylor waiting the snap. Gets it, hands off to Evans. Evans through the middle, rolling out to his left. Gets across the 50, to the 40, the 30, the 20, the 15, 10, 5, touchdown. He's gone. Chris Evans off to the races. Touchdown, Giants.
Let's go.
All the way from the
55 yards.
55-yard touchdown run from Chris Evans. Takes it all the way to the house. Rolling out to his left. Just turned the corner, and he's gone. Great play by Chris Evans. That's what you get when you have the human highlight reel in your backfield.
the speed of Chris Evans in the open field was, he just turned the corner and he was gone.
There's no stopping him, which we heard the coach to our right. As soon as he just turned the corner, like, he's gone.
Yep.
Chris Evans and Reese Taylor are going to be starting in their own end zone. They're actually at their own goal line. So it's going to be LaShawn Johnson, Chris Evans, and Reese Taylor in the backfield. He's going to throw it across the middle. Caught by Story Emerson. He's gone. One man to beat, and he's past him. 40. 50, he's gone. 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants. from inside their own end zone. They just took it all the way. 96-yard touchdown pass.
Wow. First play of the drive, 96 yards.
At their own 4-yard line, they just toss it right across the middle to Story Emerson, and he's gone. He's going to be brought down in the backfield, and that's going to do it. End the first half. So the first half is in the books. The Giants and the Bears are tied at 14. Story Emerson on the near side. It's going to be Reese Taylor, Chris Evans, and LaShawn Johnson in the pistol. We've seen this formation before, and I think it was the formation that Chris Evans ran the touchdown on. So Chris Evans is going to be rolling out to his left. He's going to take it. 40, 50. He's going to turn the corner. He's gone.
He's gone. 30,
20, 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. Did I not just say that was the formation that they scored the touchdown on, and what just happened?
I think they just scored a touchdown on it, Corey.
It's touchdown, Giants. Chris Evans, a huge run, taken from all the way back at about the 20-yard line. So about a 72-yard touchdown run there from Chris Evans all the way.
So Chris Evans has a 55-yarder and a 72-yarder. He's able to hit those home run.
He really
those home
is.
Run runs.
Reese Taylor, Chris Evans in the backfield, trips on the far side. Story Emerson on the near side. Taylor waits to snap. Gets it off. Rolling out to his right, takes it himself. Turns the corner, finds the gap, gets across the 10. 5, pushes in, touchdown Giants. Reese Taylor rolls out to his right, finds the gap, pushes through a couple defenders. Touchdown Giants. I think that might be the final nail in the coffin.
Yep, I think so.
The Giants were burning a lot of clock there, and I think putting more points up on the board might just finish it off. And Randolph with Allen in the backfield, two receivers on either side of him. Doak's still not in the game. Randolph checks up to point out the defense. Defense showing a lot of pressure. They are going to blitz. Randolph looking, he's going to throw it downfield deep, and it's going to be wide open for Bell. Caught, touchdown.
Wow.
Huge touchdown pass.
He was wide open.
From Dre Randolph down to Davion Bell. So 3 minutes left to go in the game. They get a touchdown. Lawrence Central gets a touchdown. It's 28-20. Here we go. They get the snap off. They're going to take it himself. Rolling out to his right. And he's going to get in for the two-point conversion. Wow. So it is good. So 3 minutes left to go. They're going to count it. So 28-22 is the scoreline right now. With 3:11 left to go in the game. So here we go. It's going to be an onside kick is what we're expecting here. Griffin with the task of pulling out the onside kick. Ooh, he puts it on his tee. We wait to see what the onside kick's going to be. So here goes Griffin with the onside kick.
Oh.
Recovered by LC. LC's recovered it. Bobbled and recovered by Lawrence Central. Fourth and 3 for the Lawrence Central Bears. They trail by 6 to the Ben Davis Giants.
Need to get a stop here.
They really need a stop here. It's going to be Randolph and Doak's in the backfield. Two receivers on the near side, one on the far side. Randolph awaits the snap. He's going to hand it off to Doak's. Doak's unable to get him, and they stopped
him. They stopped him.
They stopped him. What a defensive play by the Giants. They weren't unable, first couple times they weren't able to wrap up, and they're able to stop him. The Giants will get the ball back with 2:16 left to go in the ball game. The clock has hit triple zeros. The Giants have defeated the Lawrence Central Bears 28-22.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for another look at the other sports other than football that are playing right now at Ben Davis High School. We like to call it your Ben Davis Sports Update. I'm John Easterin for Sean Brown and Cole Bartek this week. Your Ben Davis Volleyball Giants have wrapped up their regular season. They're looking ahead to start sectional. The ladies dropped their last home match of the year to Avon in 3 straight games. Sectional begins a week from today at Brebeuf against the Roncalli Rebels. Lady Giants will play at 6 p.m. Both the Ben Davis boys and girls cross country teams advanced out of sectional, the girls team finishing second to Zionsville and the boys finishing third, also behind Zionsville. They are now in the regional. That takes place bright and early tomorrow morning in the cold here at Ben Davis. The first race will be at 10 a.m. with the second race at 10:45. Boys tennis, girls golf, and boys and girls soccer have all finished out their seasons. But as these teams finish out, the winter season picks up with girls basketball beginning practice on Tuesday, November 3rd for their opener against the Cathedral Irish. Of course, we'll have more news on the winter sports of wrestling, boys basketball, and boys and girls swimming and diving as the season progresses. That's going to do it for this edition of the Ben Davis Sports Update. I'm John Easter.
Ball comes loose. Giants look to have recovered, and they have.
Welcome to the Mick, freshman. Welcome to the Mick.
It was another exciting installment of Mick football in Week 8, starting off with Ben Davis edging out Lawrence Central 28-22. Next, Center Grove defeated Lawrence North 17-7. Pike defeated North Central 43-27. And in the final Mick game of Week 8, Carmel defeated Warren 30-20. Moving on to the other 6A games from around the state of Indiana in Week 8, Chesterton defeated Crown Point 14-0. Merrillville defeated Lake Central 40-17. Valparaiso beat Portage 28-14. Penn blew out Elkhart Central 56-0. LaPorte defeated Michigan City 41-26. While Fort Wayne North blew out Fort Wayne South 55-6. Northwood defeated Warsaw 21-14. Homestead barely edged out Fort Wayne Lures 28-21. Carroll blew out Fort Wayne Wayne 49-6. Fishers defeated Westfield 42-28. Hamilton Southeastern defeated Columbus Hartley of Ohio 14-7. Cathedral defeated Brebeuf at Lawrence North 51-21, while Franklin defeated Terre Haute South 36-7. Perry Meridian defeated Terre Haute North 30-28, while Southport defeated Bloomington North 56-29. Bloomington South defeated Columbus North 22-17. Columbus East defeated Jeffersonville 42-21. And in the final 6A game from Week 8, New Albany defeated Seymour 42-26. Moving on to this week's game, starting off with the Mick, Carmel travels to take on Lawrence Central. Warren Central takes on Cincinnati St. Xavier of Ohio. Center Grove takes on Cathedral in what should be the game of the week. Ben Davis takes on North Central in senior night. And in the final Mick game of Week 9, Lawrence North takes on Pike. Moving on to the other 6A games from around the state of Indiana in Week 9, Crown Point takes on Michigan City. Merrillville takes on Chesterton, while Portage travels to face LaPorte. Lake Central travels to take on Valparaiso, while Penn travels to face Mishawaka. Carroll takes on Fort Wayne Concordia. Fort Wayne Northrop travels to face Homestead. Warsaw travels to take on Concord. Fishers faces Zionsville. Noblesville travels to take on Avon. Franklin travels to take on Bloomington North, while Southport faces Columbus North. Jeffersonville faces Jennings County, while New Albany faces Floyd Central. In the final game of Week 9, Hamilton Southeastern faces Brownsburg at Victory Field. This concludes the Mick and 6A update. Join us next week to find out the scores from Week 9 and find out the schedule of the first round of sectionals. I've been your host, Corey Verving.
The year was 1984. Ben Davis had lost for the 25th time in 29 games against North Central by the score of 20-12. The series obviously was tremendously lopsided in favor of the Panthers. But then, something happened. The Giants started winning. Since that loss in 1984 to North Central, the Panthers have won just 6 more games in the series, and the Giants have won 31. They now lead the series 35-31, and the margin has grown exponentially over the last 9 meetings. In all but one of those meetings, the Giants have beaten North Central by more than a touchdown, and things look bleak again this year for the Panthers. Coach Kevin Kreinhagen's team was just 0-10 last year. This year, they're 0-8. They haven't won a game since beating Lawrence North on October 25th, 2013, 32-16 in the sectional. But they seem to be on the right track. They don't want their streak to reach 20 games tonight. They face a Giants team that's banged up and is trying to avoid its first losing season since 1985. For these two teams, much is on the line. The autumn wind is blowing through the colorful trees tonight as fall sets the backdrop for the Ben Davis Giants hosting the North Central Panthers. Live from Giants Stadium, the game is next. tonight's game on Giant 90.9 is made possible by our underwriters, Classic Kings and the Harrison.
Gets the snap, looks straight over, screen pass to Noah Thomas across the 20, 25, 30, still on his feet, 40, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown. First play
first
of the game.
Play. Let's go.
First Noah play Thomas. Of the game. Noah Thomas takes it 80 yards to the house.
Turning on those afterburners.
For coverage of tonight's game, we take you live to the stadium and the voice of the Giants, Corey Vervaint.